family in prayer, Arlene Gullickson, her family, and that's Brother Rich and his family are Melissa, all relatives. I was out there yesterday and spent some time with them and prayed for Arlene. And let's just keep them in prayer. Good to see Sister Walker back in service.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pray for John Haar. He's got an appointment with the Heart Institute, and that's where Sister Lisa is today. They're, I think, in Sioux Falls. So pray for John Haar. All those who are not here, pray for my wife. Praise God. All those who are in need of prayer. So let's all stand, and we'll come before the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you again for this opportunity, God, that we have, Lord, to be called into this place, O Lord.
Hallelujah.
Called before you, O God, to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. We thank you, Father, for this day that you have blessed us with. This opportunity that we have, God, that we can call upon your name.
Oh, yes, Lord.
We can worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. So we ask that you would look down upon us.
Have liberty.
God, in this place, O Lord, look down upon us and give us grace, Lord. In your sight, O God. Minister unto us, Lord. Open up our ears that we may hear, Father. And our eyes that we may see, Lord. And our hearts that we, O God, can be converted unto you, Lord. I pray, Father, that we can receive with meekness, Lord, your engrafted word, which is able to save us, O Lord. Minister to the needs, O Lord, that is represented to every family, Lord. Every household, God, our spiritual needs, Lord, our physical needs. Our financial needs, O Lord.
Hallelujah, my
God, you know every heart, Lord. And I pray that you would have your way, God. Speak to us through your word, Lord. And
hallelujah,
we can be mindful of you, Lord. We can have a heart, Lord, to seek you, God, to follow after you, Lord. Amen, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Hallelujah,
we pray for those, Lord, who are in need, O God.
Yes,
we pray for the Gullickson family, Lord. We pray that you would continue to minister, God.
Glory,
I pray, Lord, put your hand upon them, Lord. Comfort them, Lord.
Have your way.
Amen. Strengthen them, O God. Amen, Lord. Hallelujah. Put your hand upon all those who are afflicted, Lord, and infirmed, and amen, who are experiencing illness, Lord. We ask that you would touch their bodies, O Lord. Amen. Strengthen them, Lord. Heal them, O God. Deliver them, O Lord. We thank you, Father. Amen. That we have that promise, Lord. And God, bind us together, Lord, in this place. Amen, Lord. That we, O Father, can be one body and in one place together, Lord. In one mind, in one spirit, in one accord, O God. Bless, O Lord. Amen, Lord. Our time here, Father, in your presence. Amen, Jesus. We look to you, God, and we give you all the praise and the glory, Lord. Let it all be done, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah, my Lord.
We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Thank you,
Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap this
morning.
Hallelujah. Amen. The adolescent class, you just go ahead and stay with us this morning in here. We have quite a few that are absent. I don't know if the toddler class is that?
No, they're just for kids.
Huh?
They're just for kids.
Okay. It's up to you.
Yeah.
Okay. Praise God. We have a lot absent this morning, so. Amen. But I'm glad I'm here.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Praise God. I'm glad I'm here. I would never miss it.
Amen.
Everything I do. Because I want to not just please him, but because I love him.
Amen.
I am hopelessly devoted to him.
Yeah.
I should say I am with hope devoted to him.
Yes.
Because I love him and appreciate him. Let's continue with what we started on last week. And if you would turn with me in your Bibles. Amen. To the book of Romans chapter 15. Hallelujah. You know, the Apostle Paul was speaking to the church at Corinth. And of course, you know, everything that he was burdened with, the burden he carried for the churches and the understanding that he was trying to open up to them, and amen, so that they can receive the knowledge that God was imparting to them through his word. And it's really important for us to try to be in a place where we can be attentive and attend to the things of God. And he spoke this, and he said this, and I'll get to the text here just in a moment here. But this is what he said. He said that, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's really the purpose of everything that you and I do when we come together, especially in this setting, for instruction in the Word of God. We can just kind of come to a place where we can open up ourselves to what God wants to, amen, teach us. And so that we can receive the understanding that we need to receive. That's the reason why we do this. And we're products of that. We're products of what we have been exposed to as far as God's word and what we have learned. And of course, you do have to have a desire to learn. Amen. If you don't have a desire to learn, it's not going to really benefit you. Amen. Not in any level. And your understanding will just be, I like to use the word shallow. Fruitless. A lot of people don't realize what it really is to be for the life of a Christian. What it is to be a Christian. We approach that how can I say this? Because there's only one body, there's only one church, there's only one faith, there's only one baptism. Mm-hmm. There's only one. And if people would pay attention to the scripture, what the scripture is expounding and saying to all that, but in a sense, you know, the majority, I'm gonna say it, and all those that, you know, claim themselves to be followers of Jesus Christ, so they like to don the expression of being a Christian, but yet they do not really have the teaching and the understanding and even the life, the living of what it is to truly be a Christian. Mm-hmm. And if we have a desire to want to learn, of course the Lord is going to lead us. And that's the whole reason why we assemble ourselves together like we are right now. This, you know, our routine, right, where we come together so we can hear. Obviously, if you don't do enough attending to these things by yourself at home, mm-hmm, which you should have that kind of, you know, you should have that kind of routine, just to be able to acquaint yourself with the Word of God, just to study the Word of God. You should have that kind of routine so you can get yourself familiar with it. You can understand. You can come to an understanding. So the reason is, you know, when we think about that, the whole purpose of this is that we can basically grow in Him. We can grow in Him. We can develop spiritually. We have developed physically. We have developed, you know, as far as this economy in the material world, in the material realm, we have developed physically. We have developed carnally. We all have that. You know, some of us are elders, some of us are young adults, and then of course you have the adolescents and then the little bitty ones. But in that whole process of life, everybody grows and everybody gets understanding. But here's the thing. And this is why it's really important. I don't believe it's God's will that any of us lack in understanding Him. Amen. And lack in understanding what it is He's called us to, and the way that we should be living. And so that's why it's important for us to understand. That's why all this about teaching, about instruction, it's To me, it's needful. So if you don't have that time, even on your in your own environment, in your home, where you study, you read, you try to. Here's the thing. Reading the Word of God, coming to an understanding, exposing yourself to the Word is a sign of your relationship with Him. Praise God. So if you have a desire to want to learn, you're going to attend to those things. Regardless if your carnal mind cannot wrap it its way around it. You cannot understand it through a carnal mind. You have to allow the Spirit to quicken you. That's why the Bible, that's what Paul said, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And I'll say this, and it's so true, and it's profound, that you cannot understand the Word of God unless you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, somehow you're not going to see eye to eye. You're not going to understand. So that's why Paul said, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Praise God. So, amen. In Romans chapter 15, we're kind of following up on what we were talking about here a week ago, last Sunday. And we see here what the Apostle Paul is saying here in this passage of Scripture. He said, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, that's you and I, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, by being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. That the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable. That when we are presented, we will be acceptable. And that's what he said. Being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Amen. So we see that's, you know, what Paul's saying here, being sanctified. The only way that we're going to be acceptable is if we're going to be sanctified. That process of sanctification, of course, remember the scripture that we read last week in 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 to 4, and this is what he said. He said this, praise God, let me make sure I got the right one. Yeah. Chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, 1 Thessalonians. I don't know if I can get my pages open here. Praise God. It's amazing. For this is the will of God. This is God's will. Even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Amen.
Amen.
So that's what we should do. We should know how to possess our vessel in sanctification and in honor. Now, just let me give you a little definition, and this is from the word that we're talking about, sanctification, and the Greek, and it's defined, and the first definition is the act, when we talk about sanctification, it's the act of making holy. The act of making holy. So the work of the Holy Ghost in us, when we begin to walk with God, of course, you know, beginning from our conversion, when we begin to walk with God, guess what's going to happen? We're going to, that process of the act of becoming holy is going to begin. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit will begin that work in us. So we will, amen, that process will begin. That's the working of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
When we allow the Holy Ghost to have liberty in us, it's going to begin to sanctify us. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, in all manner of behavior. Be holy. So when we talk about that, the act of being holy, the act of God's grace, now listen to this, by which the affections of men are purified and alienated from sin and the world.
Amen.
So it does that. And I know that might be kind of a hard to comprehend, but I'll read it again. The act of God's grace by which the affections of men are purified or alienated from sin and the world. So the Holy Ghost, obviously, when we talk about, you know, through the process of sanctification, we're going to become holy. Mm-hmm. We're going to be separated. God's going to take us away from what the life that we used to live. Of course, we all used to be sinners. Mm-hmm. We all used to be. Did you hear me?
Yep.
We all used to be sinners. We're not sinners no more. We're saints. That whole word wraps around that word being sanctified, saintly, sanctified. That process of sanctification. So we see that. So as a result, that's what he's going to do. That process is by which the affections, the way we feel. How many of you are affectionate people? Mm-hmm. Huh?
Yeah.
Praise God. Are you just hard-hearted people? The Bible says he would take away the stony heart and give us a fleshly heart.
Yep.
A heart that is sensitive. That's what the work of the Holy Ghost. So, yep. So guess what? Why is that? We are all attuned to human affections. Mm-hmm. We know that. Without God, guess what? We have feelings, don't we?
Yeah.
We love our own, but guess what? These affections that he's talking about, it's not so much our human affections, it's the affections we have for him.
Yeah.
That we can be more in tune with him, that we can actually, you know, when you love somebody, when you have good thoughts and you want to just be around people, your affections are aroused, so you want to just, you know, you're more sensitive. And so we become more sensitive to God. So that's why I believe that when they're talking about the affections of men are more purified and alienated from sin and the world. So he withdraws us from those things. He takes us away. So and from those, from sin and the world. It's a natural process of the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. A natural process of the Holy Ghost. Wow. So in other words, as long as we entreat the Spirit of God, as long as we pray, as long as we allow the Holy Ghost to work in us, he's going to, that work of sanctification is going to take place. That's going to be the work that he's doing. What did he say in the scripture in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah? I will proceed to do a marvelous work. Mm-hmm. For you to have everything about your former life, and of course, we all know that. We're changed. So for us to be able to experience that, that's what he's got to do. He's going to do that. So what we used to desire in the world, we don't desire that no more. Now we desire him. Mm-hmm. Whenever you entreat the Holy Ghost, that just seems to be the direction he leads you. Yes. My.
Amen.
You know, I finally completed that. And I don't mean to change the subject here, but it's right along the same line. I finally completed that download on Pontius Pilate's report to Caesar. And after reading that thing, 21 pages, after reading that thing, man, I tell you what, talk about a big crybaby. After I read Pilate's account of everything what he witnessed of Jesus, man, I thought to myself, how could, I pray this, when I pray, you know, I always talk to the Lord. You know what I tell the Lord? I said, Lord, there's nobody on earth like you.
Amen.
There's nobody on earth like you, Lord. You're the only one.
Yes.
He knew no sin. He was not defiled by sin. There's nobody like him. Not just in that manner, but just the way he was. His love, his compassion, his faithfulness, all that. And guess what? When you read what Pilate's report on what Jesus went to him, even what he felt, I mean, just being around him, you know, you can tell God was dealing with him about certain things. And in essence, he was trying to defend him and keep him from being crucified.
Yeah.
He tried everything. But yet, here was Jesus. Woo! That, you know, when they said, you know, when he said that, there's no one good. There's only one good. That's God.
Right.
That was him. But you think about that. He came, and this all has to do with what he was beginning to do in the lives and in the hearts of his people, was to draw them away from the life of sin and the power of sin. So this is the whole thing, and that's the reason why he imparted, or he poured out the Holy Ghost upon his people. And to do that work, that process of taking place, you know, process of sanctification. And so it says, I'll read it again, by which the affections of men are purified and alienated from sin and the world, and exalted to a supreme love to God. Woo! That's all a part of it. If you're not really into this thing, it's almost like the Bible says that through the Holy Ghost we receive that love of God is given to us through the Holy Ghost, so that we are drawn to him, that agape love, that deep love. We're drawn to him. And so we're exalted to that supreme love of God. I mean, there's something that if you really love God, is everybody listening?
Yes.
You're going to seek him.
Yes.
You're going to please him.
Yep.
I always use that comparison, the relationship of a man and woman. When you're drawn to that person because of the love you feel, you're going to want to do everything in your heart and in your mind and even your will to please that person. Huh?
Yep.
And you know what, that because of that love, this is what exists. Because of that love, it seems like that kind of love makes you want to do better.
Yep.
You just want to do better. Why? Because I want to make that person happy. Praise God. I want to do better. How many of you want to do better?
Yeah.
And see, that's the love that is permeated through the Holy Ghost. the last definition, the act of consecrating or setting apart for a sacred purpose. So when you think about that, and the work that God does, and that's the whole reason why the church is here. Churches put in the world.
Yep.
Obviously, it's recognizable.
Yes.
It's by how significant the difference is between us and everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Because of that work of sanctification. The Spirit doing that work in us, so it separates us. We're not like everybody else.
Yes.
We are not defiled by sin.
Amen.
We're not defiled. Guess what? There's all kinds of spirits in this little town, in this city. All kinds of spirits that are just... And so we're not defiled even by those spirits. We're not defiled by everybody else that's in this. We should keep ourselves unspotted.
Yes.
Like the Bible says, keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Yeah. So that's the whole process of it. So that's why they look at us and we're totally different. We're different. We're distinct. Amen. And so look what it says there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 23 and 24. How many of you ever pray this? I never realized how important it is when we pray, somebody says, I don't know how to pray. Well, prayer is just simply talking to God. But a lot of times, you know what we need to do? We need to pray the word.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
If we don't know how to pray, let's pray the word.
Yep.
Let's use the word and let's let God help us. And I always pray that, Lord, sanctify me holy.
Yes. Amen. Yep.
And that's what Paul is saying here. And the very God of peace sanctify you holy.
Yep.
Did you see that?
Yep.
Not H-O-L-L-Y. Sanctify you holy. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So to be sanctified holy. The Greek says it this way, and you read it, you know, the Amplified Bible says, through and through. Every area of your being. Did you know that your body belongs to Him?
Yeah.
Paul said that your spirit, we're to worship Him. I mean, we're to give Him dignity and honor because He redeemed us and He purchased us by His blood. So we're supposed to do that. Our whole body and spirit.
Yes.
Not just parts. Not just little pieces. Through and through. Everything about us. Through and through. Every area, every aspect of your life. Everything about you. Sanctify you holy. Sanctify you through and through. Amen. What a task. Do I dare say it this way? What a daunting task for the people of God to keep themselves in check with God, with all the stuff that is going on around them in this world. With all the depravity, with all the immorality, with all the sin, with all the abominations, here we are, and we're supposed to keep ourselves clean. My. It's a challenge.
Yep.
And unless you want to, you never will.
Yep.
Right.
Amen.
Unless you want to.
I want to.
What's that when you're afraid of germs and stuff? What do they call that?
Germaphobe.
You don't want to touch anything, and you see people that you don't want to touch anything. They use a handkerchief or something to touch. Why is it they don't want to germ? You know, not to the sense of going to that extreme, but guess what? To keep ourselves.
Right.
Yep.
Keep yourselves. Don't do what they do.
Yes.
Right.
Don't talk like they talk.
Right.
Don't walk like they walk.
Yes.
Don't try to imitate what the world is doing. There's enough imitators out there.
Yes.
Amen.
There's enough worldly people.
Yep.
We need godly people.
Yes.
Right.
We need godliness.
Yes. Amen.
And for the whole reason is this, so that we can make heaven our home.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Woo! Heaven is a holy place.
Yep.
Praise God. Amen. So we see that. So sanctify through and through. Now look what he says here in 1 Corinthians 1:30. He says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, look what he says, wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Woo! That's who we are. That's who we are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
He's made unto us wisdom. Woo! Guess what? We do not have to be ignorant spiritually.
Right.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
No excuse.
We have a lot of knowledge here. We have a lot of wisdom here. And we have access to it. We don't have to be. And you know, when you don't read your Bible, you're hurting yourself. Praise God. So he says that he's made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. In order for us to be redeemed, please don't base your conviction and say, well, you know, God has my back. And he'll take care of me. Mm. Well, yes, he will. But guess what? You still have to do your part.
Yeah, right.
You still have to do your part. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What did Paul say? God forbid. How are we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?
Yes.
So that's the whole thing about this walk with God, is keeping ourselves in that place. And if you pay enough attention to the leading of the Spirit of God in your life, you're going to find out that's the direction he's going to lead you.
Yep.
Woo. It's amazing. Back in the former days, amen, you always used to walk in those places that without even thinking about it, school. But when you got the Holy Ghost, you don't walk in those places no more.
Yeah.
Right.
You walk into it.
Amen.
Praise God. My mom always used to scold me, say, that's your second home. Referring to the Tally Ho Tavern, because you live there. I lived there from Friday to Sunday evening. That's your second home. You know what I mean. Praise God. That's what sin does. Where you live. Where you live. How can you separate where you live?
Yeah.
I always remember this. I don't mean to go astray, but back in the 90s, remember when President Bill Clinton was exposed for that immoral act?
Yeah.
And of course, it's sin, right there in the White House in the Oval Office with this young lady. And you know what? You know what their claim was? You know what his aides did? Well, let's approach this. Let's just try to get the focus off of what happened there. And just let's say this. You can separate your political life from your personal life. And this happened because this was a personal issue with you.
No.
The things that the world has to tries to come up to justify their indecency.
Yes.
And how could you do that? How could you separate your, you can say, well, that's my personal life. No. What did he say? Sanctify you wholly.
Yeah.
Spirit and soul and body. Yep. Sanctify you through and through. You can't, as soon as you leave the church, I can't be that way because I'm going back home to my house.
Amen.
Put it off.
Yep.
It just seems like that's what sin wants to do. Amen.
Amen.
So he says, he's made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So think about that. How does that work? Mm-hmm. How does that work? Sanctification. It begins somewhere. How do you know how to come to sanctification? Mm-hmm. Or the process of sanctification in your life? Where does it begin for Each and every one of us, how we do that, how do we come to a place where we can start to, amen, seek God, and as a result of seeking Him, the work and process of sanctification begins to take place. Wow, it only begins to a place and people say, I don't understand. How do I do that? How do I know what sanctification is? What's the process of sanctification? How do I go about doing that? Well, what did Jesus say? Sanctify them with thy truth. John 17:17. Sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Yeah.
So in order to be sanctified, we got to be sanctified through the truth, and his word is truth. So how do we do that? That's where it comes on us, you and I individually. It comes, that responsibility and obligation of sanctification is a process of us approaching his word.
Amen.
That's why I know, once in a while, you know, I'll come through here, I notice certain things. Not unless some of you folks own several Bibles. That's the only conclusion I come up with, because I don't want to judge anybody. So when I see people's Bibles sitting there on the chairs, I say, well, they must own one or two Bibles, because they leave a Bible here. How are they going to ever learn? How are they ever going to study? How are they ever going to read? I see somebody so.
Yep.
I said, well, they must own two Bibles.
Yep.
Leave it there for the next time you're in church. That's the only conclusion I come up with. You know why? Because I don't want to judge you.
Right.
Ah, praise God. I try not to be, you know. Obviously, they must own more than one Bible. Because it's through the Word. How many of you ever, when you hear the Word, how many of you ever go back? And how many of you ever check it out?
Right.
Jesus said, ye shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or not. How do you know that? By the word. Search the scriptures. And you will understand this doctrine. Is this my doctrine, or is it his that sent me? You know? That's what he was saying. So here's the thing. How do we come to that place of knowing and understanding? He said, that process, he's made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know how you can get an understanding of that process of sanctification? When the word of God can instruct you. When you can become enlightened. Go with me to the book of Psalms 119. And man, I tell you what time it is. Hallelujah. Psalms 119. Verse number 9, if you have it there. If you're there, excuse me.
Amen.
And look what it says. Psalms 119, verse number 9. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? I'll just kind of insert, and a young woman. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Look what it says. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. How are you going to learn how to cleanse your way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. I'm going to understand according to the word. The word is going to instruct me. With my whole heart have I sought thee. With my whole heart. Does anybody, how many of you here seek God with your whole heart?
Amen.
With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word, look what he says, have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Woo! So here we see here the process of how it takes place, and Amen. We and it begins in just simple. I mean, just simple. A simple. Go with me to Second Peter chapter 2. And look what Peter says here. It's just as simple as this. When we do this, when we come to this place where we are, in 2 Peter chapter 2, and hallelujah. Is that right? I don't think it's right. It says, 20, for if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So for you to escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ, if we have escaped, Look what it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 22. Look what it says. This process, it begins when we obey God's word. When we obey God's word. This was actually the scripture I was looking for. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. So when you see the word, and the word instructs you, the word gives you a commandment, you obey. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. So here we see that process that begins only because we obey the Word of God. We obey it. So guess what? When we obey it, then here comes, we're purified. That work of sanctification begins just because we simply obey. Woo!
Amen.
We were baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. We were filled with the Holy Ghost. So it took the word. It took the word to do that to us when we obey. Every time you come in here, guess what? This is it's referred to as an holy convocation. So the word of God is that we are given a commandment to come together for an holy convocation. Did you hear me?
Yes.
A holy convocation, a gathering.
A gathering. Yep.
But look the way he describes it. Holy. So when we come together, this is a holy gathering. Now just pure and simple. Holy gathering. So when we come together. So guess what? When we come together, what do? We come to hear God's word.
Yep.
That's right.
So as a result, we come to hear God's word. In this whole process, what are you doing? It's God's commandment. It's God's instruction to you. So when you obey, just in that simple act of obedience, saying, I'm going to go to Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go to Bible study.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to prayer.
Yeah.
In that simple act of obedience, you're obeying God's will. So guess what happens? Here comes, we're being purified.
Yeah.
Right. Amen.
That's why it should make a difference when you come. Every time you come in here, every time you expose yourself to the truth, man, when you walk out of here, your battery should be charged up.
Yeah.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
How many of you actually feel cleaner when you leave here?
Yep.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
You notice the difference. I never realized this, but since we're talking about sanctification, that process, the work of sanctification, when you become mature, and you begin to understand things, of course, knowledge, experience, developing, maturing, you begin to understand things. You begin to see things like you never have seen before. you've been illuminated because of, you know, just submission, obedience. So here's the thing. And through this process, of course, we're being cleansed. We're being sanctified. We're being purified. We're coming to that place of holiness, of separation. We're taken out of the world, and we're being drawn closer to heaven. So that process and that work. So as a result, guess what? Your understanding, even what you see as far as your understanding, and you're able to comprehend the Word of God more easily than you did before, because all the things that were in your way, all the things that clouded your understanding, mm-hmm. all the obstructions, you could never see past.
Yep.
You could never comprehend. But here, because of sanctification, that work is going on, so you're being cleansed. And so here's what the Bible says. The pure in heart shall see God.
Yes.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
So you're going to be able to notice. You're going to be able to see. You're going to be able to understand. You're going to see more of God in these things.
Amen.
You're going to be able to see clearly. Your spiritual vision is not going to be obscured by, amen, the defilement in your mind and in your spirit and even in your body. That's why I said sanctify holy, spirit, soul, and body.
Amen.
Through and through. Woo! I understand that now. Of course, I can't, you know, I'm an elder. But I see that more clearly now. It's just that, to me, it makes more sense. Mm-hmm. You go, wow. You know why we have power? Because of His Spirit, because of sanctification. You know why? Because we question, we say, why is it? Why is it? It's because if sin is not hindering you or defiling you, it is the flow of God's Spirit through your being is going to be more effective. Mm-hmm. So the power of God in your life is going to have more, amen, more impact. But if you're defiled, if you're dirty, you're not going to have that kind of how would I say, power in your life because of that defilement. That's why some people, they don't have that much, how can I say, ability and effectiveness that they should have in the Spirit, because guess what? They're defiled.
Amen.
It's almost like it's put a restriction on the things of God. Didn't he say that? It's kind of metaphorically, in a sense, almost. Not so much, you know, 100% metaphorically, but didn't he say that? He said, your sin has separated between me and you. It's like it's tied my hands.
Yeah, right.
So we can see that that's what sin does. It just restricts us. It hinders us. So that's the whole process of holiness. If you've been praying like you should, if you've been reading your Bible like you should, if you've been walking with God like you should, man, more holiness in your life.
Amen.
Woo, more power. And so, but look what Jesus said, man. Look what Jesus said. Verse number chapter 15 in the book of John. Look what Jesus said in verse number 3. He said, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Woo! You are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So if we receive the word, the spoken word, we are clean.
Uh-huh.
Through the word which is spoken unto us. Man.
Amen. Amen.
Does make a difference. You can almost feel your spiritual man, the inner man, being enlightened every time you come in here. But guess what? And that's what kind of I'm concerned with. But every time you let all the elements of the world, when you get out there, you let it choke everything that God's yep. done. Because you pay more attention to that than you do your spirit.
Yep.
Hallelujah. It's something is something. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. I need to move here. Book of Ephesians chapter 5. Look what he says here in verse number 26. It says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. He's talking about the church. That he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So every time we open up the word of God, he's doing the work. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. I was thinking about this. Since my wife is somewhat incapacitated, I've taken over several responsibilities in our home. I've become a housekeeper. I do the laundry. I do a lot of stuff. Take care of my wife. And one thing I've learned how to do is, we always used to get in an argument. Because she tells me how to do laundry. I said, I know how to do laundry. No, you don't. I know one thing. Don't ever put Clorox in with colors. You learn the hard way. Don't put bleach in with colors. So we'd have that argument. But I learned how to do laundry. Did you know that? Yeah, I follow it to the T. The cups that they give you, and I pour so much in that cup of the laundry detergent. And if I have to use any bleach, I follow the instructions to the T. I'll put that much bleach in there. And even the softener. All depending on the size of the load. I'm getting good at it. Take your laundry out when it's dry, especially you got clothes that are, you know, that wrinkle real easy. Don't let them sit in the dryer, that, because guess what? They're going to get wrinkly. Guess what? And then you're going to have to somehow.
Yeah.
So I'm learning. I'm becoming experienced at that. I used to give a hard time, and I just do it just to keep, you know, get back at her. I know what I'm doing. Amen. I know what I'm doing. Yeah, sure you do. Did you realize something? My wife is teaching me how to be a good cook now.
All right.
I'm learning how to cook. Well, I thought I knew how to cook before, but now I'm really learning how to cook. And I always give her a hard time to do, even in that, doing certain things. Got to get it ready a certain way. I'm the one cooking. Let me do it the way I want to do it. I come to find out she knows what she's doing. So I better pay attention tonight. And then when it comes out just because I do it the way she wants to do it, it comes out really good. I say, hey, I did that. Woo! I made that. Praise God. Try to take glory. Take all the glory. But you think about that. Look what he says here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That's why it's needful for you and I every time. The setting is important to us.
Amen.
Because we need that.
Amen.
We need sanctification. We need to be washed. We need to be made clean. Look what he says. He says that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. Did you realize we need to take this admonition seriously?
Amen. Yep.
We cannot be unpresentable. That word for wrinkle, the Greek word, rutus, it means, the idea is being unkept. So how does a wrinkle, a garment get wrinkled? It's unkept. It's not maintained.
Right.
So that's why it's important for us to understand we cannot be like that. We cannot be unkept. We cannot be, you know, we have to maintain. Woo. I always remember, those of you that know Brother Clayton, he's shrunk now, but before he's the top part of his body, he had a little muscle to him. You know, it's kind of like shoulders and went down to his waist was like that. His body was like this, and then when it came to his legs were probably about that short. His body was about that long. But he was, you know, he had some muscle on him,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah.
Well built. I remember we were sitting in a casino in Pickstown, and this gentleman came in because he recognized us singing at the arts and apartment. He came to talk to us a little bit. He put his hand on Brother Clayton's shoulder and said, "Oh man, iron." By the way, Brother Clayton kind of got puffed up. And then he says what he wants to say, walks away, and he's sitting there like that. I said, "Brother Clayton, he meant to iron your shirt."
That's good.
But that's what we have to do. We have to maintain.
Yeah.
We cannot neglect. We cannot be neglectful.
Amen.
That's the whole process of sanctification when we understand this. And it's not in a sense that, you know, people like to say about the ministry, "Oh, pastor, he's picking out everything." No, I'm not. Because if you paid attention enough to the Word of God, if you, like we said, it's going to be through the Word that we are going to be sanctified.
Yes.
It's going to be through the Word that we are going to receive understanding, wisdom, knowledge. In our sanctification is the reason why. If we come to that place, we have to let the Word sanctify us. We have to let the Word, amen, wash us and cleanse us. So that process we've got to understand. We've got to do it because that's important for us so that we can obtain eternal life. Last but not least, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 21. "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Praise God. Thank you very much. We'll go on our break and come back afterwards. God bless you.